Hello and welcome in to another edition of 90 Day Our Way. I am one half of your co-hosts. I'm John.
And I'm the other half. I'm Lindsay.
And thank you all for joining us. We had a pretty good episode, I would say. Some meetings with mom, some stomachs breaking, some immigration conversations going on, as well as, yes, you guessed it, baby talk. But outside of that, anything else, Linz, to start us off?
Can you believe this is only episode 8?
I can. Yeah.
Can you? I feel like this season has gone on forever.
Nah, I feel like we're just getting started.
What?
Yeah, we had the first couple good episodes, the crap couple episodes. Now we're getting a couple good episodes before the next crap, and then the good final 3-4 episodes. It's like a roller coaster.
I wish we had a camera in here, which I want to get one soon, but I'm giving Jonathan the look that Usman's mom gave him and Kimbali. So,
you're welcome.
All right, who are we starting with?
Let's just start with Bilal and Chad, since they had nothing of note, just their one scene. So they're meeting with the doctor to see how many egg cells left. Can I also just say, this is something I've noticed about Bilal, which is very strange, and I get he works a lot. Have we noticed he always wears a suit?
Always. Doesn't matter where they're going.
It's not just like a polo and some khakis or like a polo and a nice pair of jeans. Like, it's always a suit.
I mean, I imagine he's working all the time, though. Like, we have to think this happened in 2021.
Our realtor wasn't wearing a suit.
A three-piece suit every single time.
He was wearing, like, khakis and a polo, or, like, a button-down in khakis, right? Not a full suit.
Well, shout-out to Larry, our realtor. yeah, it's true. Bilal wears it, everywhere they go. I think we've only seen him, like, once or twice in, like, casual.
Yeah.
Like, the one time when him and his daughter were gonna make TikToks together.
Yeah.
And then...
when they were, like, playing in the snow, he was wearing, like, a jacket and stuff.
Oh, yeah, and when they were riding the scooters.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
But it's just so, I don't know. It was just weird to me, something I noted. Very weird.
So they go to the doctor, and essentially they find out that Shida's eggs are limited because of her age, essentially. Mm-hmm. So they need to start trying for a baby within the next 6 months. If they want it to happen spontaneously.
Yeah, the old natural way. I'm sure we all know how that works.
Can you explain it to me, please?
At another time. But not right now. But yeah, so low reserve time is of the essence, as they stated. It seemed like Shida didn't really understand the whole process. Because then they kind of pan to her solo interview and she's like, I can never have children. And it's like, that's not what he said at all. It's just like, within the next 6 months is your best chance to get pregnant the natural way. And then I did like how they went back and said, if it doesn't happen within the next 6 months, there are these alternatives to getting pregnant. So.
Can we stop saying that she's fertile, by the way?
It's just a gross terminology.
Like, is she a plant? I don't understand that. I know it's called a fertility doctor, but fertile is just a gross word. But, you know, when the doctor said that her egg count was low, I turned to Jonathan and I was like, why don't they freeze her eggs? Like, if they're not willing to have a baby right now, like, I think that's a good compromise.
Yeah.
Obviously, Shida thinks her world is ending, and Bilal is like, oh, fuck, we got to start having a baby. And Bilal has enough fucking money if they ever wanted to go, like, the IVF way or anything like that. I think this is all kind of fluff for TV, to be honest with you. She did seem legitimately upset, but the storyline is just It's dragging too much. On. It's too much. Like, have a fucking baby or don't. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, give me something else.
Give me something else.
That's, I mean, that's pretty much them for this episode, though.
And this is them the whole season. Yeah. The whole season.
Going decor shopping. Oh, there's a baby shop here.
Oh, let's write a pros and cons of having a kid.
Yeah, it's just, that's everything.
I mean, we'll talk about it for the next time on. But again, it's about a baby and family. And we need a new storyline. Please.
Anything else on them? Or is that it? You got everything out?
No, I haven't gotten everything out. Also, if you can't tell, I'm absolutely exhausted. I took a red eye last night. So my voice might have like vocal fry right now. So I really hope you guys don't mind.
We do mind, actually.
Okay, well, fuck off.
Who would you like to head over to next?
Do you want to go to Jenny and Smith? Because their whole scenes made me laugh so hard.
Yeah, so Jenny is sad to be going back to their house.
The honeymoon's over.
Yeah.
Plain and simple is that the honeymoon is over, and it ended with Jenny breaking Sumit's stomach.
Yeah, so that was like the first second, and then they're like, oh, by the way, Jenny broke Sumit's stomach from the cowgirl pose that they learned. It's like, oh, okay.
So he has this thing that he said is navel displacement.
Yeah. So now he's leaking and he's having diarrhea and sitting on the toilet all morning.
So
I feel bad. That's got to be rough.
Navel displacement, according to my health.com, is navel displacement causes included jerking or picking up some heavy goods or navel slips or displaces, which is common problem in many.
AKA Jenny.
Also, if you look up navel displacement on Google, Jenny and Smith are the third option that pop up.
Nice.
So, Smith then inadvertently calls her fat. He's like, oh, it was a heavy object. And Jenny was like, oh, are you calling me fat? And he's like, I'm not calling you fat. I'm calling myself tiny or skinny,
like,
or
he's
whatever.
Like, I'm a little guy, which he is. They're like the same height, but Jenny definitely weighs more than him.
Yeah, of course. And but she's also 30 years older than him.
And she's not fat.
No.
It was just funny, though. So, no more cowgirl poses. I guess we're going to have to do the cowboy pose.
Which, by the way, I would love to know what a cowboy pose is.
Just him on top, right? I would assume.
But, like, how would that even work?
You can make it work.
All right. You want to try it later?
I don't know about that. So, that's kind of that scenario. And then Sumit brings up the fact that when they do get back, he wants to check on his parents. And Jenny's like, well, have they checked on you? And he's like, well, no, but that's kind of why
I'm upset. Though. Like, I felt this. Moving, I guess he hasn't moved, but like, Jonathan and I talk about it all the time. Like, when we move down here to Florida, like, it becomes a, did you reach out to this person? And if you didn't, you will never hear from them again. So I understand Sumit still wants to maintain a relationship with his family, but also, like, you were disinvited to your mother's funeral. I think you gotta let them, like, simmer a little bit and calm down before you try to invite them over to the house.
Well, I wouldn't be inviting them over at all. But that would be me. I'm also pretty ruthless in that sense, so.
So then they go, so they have to move back to the old house because of the whole immigration visa thing.
Yeah, and Sumit even said, like, or Jenny was saying how Sumit should be done with thinking about his family and focus more on her. I think we're seeing more of, like, a little bit more of a selfish attitude from Jenny this season.
Oh, yeah.
From the past couple seasons that they've been on, she feels as though she's been through all of this stuff over the last couple of years, that now it's like her time and, you know, fuck the family.
That's what my whole thing is. She has gone through this whole thing with the family for 10 plus years now. You know, it started out with their friendship and then their relationship, him literally getting kidnapped the first season we saw them, the divorce, everything.
Yeah.
So I don't blame her now for wanting to be like, hey, your family said we could get married and we got married and they still fucking hate me. So like they can go fuck off now.
Yeah. And I agree. Like I don't blame her at this point. No. If it was me after the first year, I would have been like, forget them.
Legit.
I wouldn't have been sticking it out this long, trying to make amends and all this other stuff.
I also don't understand how Submit continues to go back to his family.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be a light bulb to you?
Yeah.
Hey, my parents are never going to accept this. I've done everything I can. And even going to the astrologer, like all that stuff, it seemed like things were okay there for a short little while. And then it completely flipped again. And they're just so against it.
It's just, I don't understand. So then they go to a appliance store.
Yeah.
For the new house, which was my point to begin with. Or for the old house. Old new house.
Yeah.
And they go downstairs to like other appliances and Jenny sees a vacuum cleaner. And this conversation is honestly one of the funniest conversations they've ever had. And I don't know what's up with Submit these past 2 weeks, but he is zinging.
Yeah, he is.
And I'm obsessed with it.
It's hysterical. He's pretty quick. So they're looking at the vacuum cleaner and they're talking about, you know, the cleanliness of the house and everything like that. And Jenny's like, well, as long as it's clean, and Jenny thinks that the way she cleans is accepting, and Submit doesn't really seem to agree.
Not at all. Like, he does not agree at all. He at one point says that Jenny needs to forget about the American house cleaning and think of the Indian house cleaning.
I don't know. I mean, can see our house. Our house is pretty clean.
Our house is pretty Indian house cleaning, if you say. So essentially, you know, Jenny wants to buy this vacuum cleaner and Submit is like, well, why? You should just use the broom.
Yeah.
And mop. And then she legit goes, you should fucking mop then. And I'm like, yeah, bitch, he should mop. He wants the house clean. It should be clean. I agree.
His point should have been, though, if I'm at work, then you can do this. And instead he was just like, well, this is like your role in the household. Instead of having like gender neutral roles.
Yeah.
Been like, well, if I'm working, like, what are you going to do all day type thing?
So then Submit says, you know, if my parents come over and they see it's dirty and you have a vacuum, they're going to be like, oh, God. And it's like, Submit, your parents are not coming over.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to come over. The other thing that Submit mentioned was, he was like, a vacuum cleaner, sweeping and mopping is physically better. You know, it's good for you. And it's like, we kind of looked at each other, laughed, and Lindsay was saying, this has got to be the third or fourth time over the last couple episodes that this man has indirectly called Jenny fat.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that. From
the class, breaking his stomach, and then this.
It's so amazing. But the fact is, like, he keeps going around it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm skinny. Oh, I need to lift weights. It's good. It's healthy for you. It's like, bro, just tell her that she needs to lose weight. Or like, be like, hey, babe, like, I've noticed you've gained a couple pounds. Like, not mean.
Yeah. Or hey, let's go to the gym together. Let's go on walks together. You know, there's those little ways you can do about things.
Is that what you do to me?
Oh, all the time.
Wow.
No, I do not. I pretty much say, shoot it straight.
No, you do not.
Yes, I do. The other funny thing that he said, though, was, I would say Jenny is failing and she needs to upgrade her skills.
This man is wild.
That was so funny.
I don't under, like, he is a savage lately, and I think it's great. So much.
And Jenny mentions at the end that this is not the married life that she expected.
It's not, especially with the kids, like, fuck off. Or the kids, the parents. Yeah. Guys, I'm so tired. I'm sorry. Especially with the parents, like, literally submit. Like, you want a relationship with your parents, have a relationship with your parents.
Right. Just keep it separate.
Keep Jenny out of it. Like,
yeah, they're never going to accept her. It's the way it is. Like,
it's going to make your life way better.
100%.
So,
totally agree. Anything else on these two?
I hope that we go back to the conversation of them moving to America.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I'm really sick of this parent storyline.
Same.
So this is the thing with 90 Day, right? We stay on the same storylines. Sometimes. Like, and I just want something new. Just give me something new.
I agree.
And so, I mean, this is the third season, I want to say, of the parents not accepting Jenny. I mean, overall, it's their whole fucking storyline. But, like, I just need something new.
Yeah, I agree.
That's about it for me.
All right. Who would you like to move to next?
Well, we have what?
Three more.
Whoa, we had a full episode.
Yeah. Jovi, Yara, Kimbali, Usman, and then we're saving Andre and Libby for last.
Oh, okay. let's go to Jovi and Yara, and then we'll go to Kimbali. All
right. So they're speaking in the kitchen. You might have noticed this. You might not have. My OCD, so I noticed it. Why is their microwave blinking food?
It just says food. I did notice that.
Did you unplug it and plug it back in and not reset the timer? Did you lose electricity?
No.
What's going on?
I think that it was either A, he was making like food.
A breakfast burrito or something?
Yeah, or oatmeal or something. B, they just never cleared it.
Okay.
Or C, they lost power or something like that. Because I was trying
to... It was irritating the shit out of me.
Because I was trying to figure out what time it was, and I'm happy that the stove had the clock on it, which, by the way, I think they have the same stove as us.
It looks like it.
It looks like it. But I was trying to figure it out because I was like, Yara looks tired as fuck.
Yeah.
So then I realized like it was 3:47 in the morning or something like that.
Yeah, he's probably catching an early flight.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yes, I did notice that. I also noticed him using a $600 blow dryer, Dyson blow dryer.
Well, he's making money.
I know. We also went through this, like how much Jovi actually makes.
Probably makes like 200K government contracts.
You think he makes that
underwater
much?
Robotics? Come on.
Maybe I should like glass door this while we're on right now. Okay, go ahead. You can talk.
So off of that, they're in the kitchen talking, and Yara plans on leaving once she gets her green card. However, Jovi does not feel comfortable with her going to Europe at this time alone with Myla.
Okay, so I looked up underwater robotic salary, and the people also asked, the first question is, how much does Jovi make a year? According to Glassdoor, his position can average about $73,000 per year.
No way.
Apart from his lucrative career, he's only been a 90 day, the reality TV star also makes a profit from social media influencing and sending personalized fan videos through Cameo, for which he charges $55.
Jovi, $55. Woo!
I also think that he probably makes more.
I'd say he makes at least double that.
Yara really wants to go to Europe with Myla, but she finally decided that she will wait for Jovi when he gets back from his work assignment.
Yeah, he's only gone for 3 weeks. Yeah. You could get your green card. Say you even get it in 5 business days, which you're not going to. It's the government. They work crazy slow. So say you get it in 10 days. Okay. You're just waiting another 10 days for him to come back. Is it really that big of a deal?
So my favorite part of this whole thing was when Jovi said this is the worst time he's had to go to work because of all the anxiety that Yara has from the war, which, like, I want to remind everyone that he went to work literally a month of Yara being into this country.
Yep.
B, he went to work when she was like 4 months pregnant.
Yep.
C, he went to work like a month after Mila was born, and then COVID hit and he had to be stranded in the middle of the fucking ocean for 4 months.
While she moved.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing. And she had to find a new apartment. And in the meantime, also moved in with Miss Gwen and Jovi's dad because she was literally by herself in the middle of a pandemic with a newborn child. But this is the most stressful time to be going.
Obviously.
Fucking idiot.
That was great.
You're welcome.
Anything else from that first half of their scene?
I mean, I'm happy that she's gonna wait for him to go to Europe.
I agree.
I think that's the right choice. But also, and we'll talk about this during their next scene, but Americans are just very ignorant and stupid how, like, the continent of Europe works. And the fact that, like, they keep, like, Jovi said it, then, like, Miss Gwen says it in this next scene, like, I'm nervous about you going to Europe. It's like, well, Europe is pretty huge. So.
It is.
Like, I don't, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, so Miss Gwen has planned a day for the three of them to hang out, Miss Gwen, Yara, and Mila. So they go and they're painting.
Yeah, they're doing like arts and crafts.
Yeah, like painting a welcome sign, it looks like, to hang on the door.
Yeah, and Yara says that Americans are like obsessed with hanging shit on the walls, which I totally agree with, so.
It's you know, it's decor. It's stuff to buy. It looks nice. I don't know. It's our way of living, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we have some decor, but I'm mainly a picture person.
I also feel as though, like, the American way, right, is have your own house. Decorate it your way. European style is very, like, living in an apartment or a condo and always on the move and out and about. It's not really like you're in your home. Yeah. All that much. Well, so I feel like that could be a little bit of why people here do these decorations and why people over there do not.
Yeah, I feel like it's very, to Jonathan's point, like, look at me, look at my house, look at my live, laugh, love bullshit on the wall.
Gather.
Don't get me started on Gather. It's almost Gather season.
The big fork and the knife on the wall in the kitchen.
Fucking A. We have two pieces of decor in the kitchen, and it says coffee now, wine later. I think that's the only thing we have in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then in our living room / den, like where we hang out the most, it's all pictures. And then we have a whiteboard calendar so we know
what's going on.
Then, like, in our dining room we have
pictures of, like, us and then our families.
Yeah, that's all we have, like, hanging decor wise I mean, yeah. I have, like, those stupid fucking planners in the front when you first walk in.
Yeah,
but, like, they're cute. They match the green with the wall.
And then we have Leo the lion on the wall.
Oh, we do have Leo the lion on the wall. It doesn't say. Yeah. So we have this great ass picture of a lion. It's black and white. It's acrylic. It's really, really dope. It's above our doors. You guys are never going to see it. So I don't even know why I'm describing it. And then we also have a turtle, and he's really cute too. I'm a big animal person, but that's besides it.
All right, there's our decor corner.
And then in Jonathan's office, one more, sorry. In Jonathan's office, we just have sports stuff everywhere.
Correct.
Because it's a sports room / his office, not a man cave.
Yeah, it's an upstairs office.
And that's all I have to say. And that was our...
the core corner.
What the fuck are those people called? The Magnolia people? Chip and Joanne. That was there our Chip go. And Joanne corner.
So, they're doing arts and crafts.
That's where we
and
are.
So... Yara says that she's going to go to Europe once Jovi comes back from work, and Miss Gwen thinks that this timing is absolutely terrible, and Yara tries to make Miss Gwen feel as though not kind of like Miss Gwen is being selfish.
I don't think she meant it, and no. She even said it that way. She was like, oh, I didn't even think like that, because Miss yeah. Gwen says like, oh, I'm going to... Mila's staying with me, and Yara was like, no, she's coming with us, like, to see my mom, like, you're not even thinking
yeah,
of
she
my
needs
mom.
To see her other grandmother.
And like, Miss Gwen was like, oh yeah, like, duh, like, I wasn't thinking it. But Miss Gwen, this was my point earlier, Miss Gwen and Jovi both do it where it's like, this isn't the right time to go to Europe. And the analogy I used was like, if there's a war happening in California and you go to Oklahoma or even, like, New Mexico, which is closer, you're fine.
Yeah.
But I thought the funny part was when Miss Gwen was like, oh, what if they, like, misplace a bomb and it hits Prague? And Yara's like, yeah, they're going to bomb Czech Republic. Like
one of the most neutral places. Czech Republic, Switzerland, they like to not get involved in anything.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was funny. Sorry, I just took over that whole thing.
No, that's good. So Yara really wants to see her friends and family back home. But I do think that it's good. She's going to wait for Jovi to come back. That way the three of them can all go together as opposed to her traveling there and then Jovi going there. So I hope that this trip will plan out and work out well.
I hope so. I think it will. I mean, we'll talk about it on the next time on. But it did seem like they were happy to be there.
Yeah.
But Miss Gwen, and I think this is a good like conversation to talk about, Miss Gwen is scared that if Yara goes to the Ukraine, she's not gonna come back.
I think she's going to wind up going there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But it's
and
also...
What Yara said, and I don't know how true it is that she just needs to have 3 entries into the United States to keep her status. I mean, I don't know how true that is, but...
Yeah.
It seems right.
Yeah. I agree. Anything else on those two, or are you ready to head off to Kimbali and Usman, aka Soulja Boy?
Yeah, let's go get a cow.
So Usman wants to go into the meeting with his mother with good positive energy, so because of that he doesn't tell Kimbali what his mom actually said the previous day.
Yeah, like why wouldn't you give her a warning, like, hey, just be prepared that my mom might not approve because of my ex or something like that. Nothing. Right. She's going in completely blind.
I think it's hilarious. So then they end up at the market so that Kimbali can buy Usman's family a gift. And this gift is a cow.
And Kimberly loves the cow market. She wants to pet all of the animals.
Yeah.
Even if she gets bit. She said she could spend hours.
She says every animal to her is a pet.
I mean, it is.
It can be, until you're hungry and you need some beef.
Well, some people don't eat beef.
That's true.
But if anyone has been watching 90 Day as long as we have, you'll remember that baby girl Lisa bought Usman's mom a goat.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So it's a tradition, I would say. And I think that's why, and we'll get to it, why his family kind of reacted negatively.
Yeah.
So they buy the cow. The cow seller, I don't know what the fuck he was called. The man who's selling the cows.
The cow seller, the cow owner, the owner of the market.
He says that
he was amazed to see a foreign person buy a cow and the first time he saw a white woman in person.
I mean, how?
And this guy must have been in his, I would say he was probably in his late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah. I mean.
Never a white person? Yeah. Never.
It's interesting.
Never a white person come through the village or anything?
So they go to buy the cow and Usman says, like, how much is it? And he haggles him down. And then Kimberly, like, takes her money out. And he's like, here, he can count it. And I'm like, why are you just handing this man
all of your money?
All of the cash.
Why don't you count it out? You know how the money works there, my guy.
I was so confused by that.
How much is this? What, do you not know how much your own currency is?
Yeah. And then he goes like, oh, it's 200,000, whatever.
Yeah, and they got him down to 180.
Yeah, but, and so he, so Kimberly goes, you know, how much is that American? And he goes, oh, it's like $500. And she's like, that's a paycheck. Like, I can't be paying that shit. And then, yeah, he doesn't even, like, convert it again for her when she asks, like, what the 180 is, like, equivalent to.
Yeah, so it was probably 450.
Yeah, but he never explains it to her. He just hands the cash over.
Here you go.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah, I thought that was wild.
Yeah.
So at this point, Kim is still extremely nervous to meet Usman's mom and his family, which I understand why.
Yeah.
They think this is just going to be Baby Girl Lisa 2.0. So it's a little sketchy for her.
And she doesn't know what to expect at
right,
all.
Yeah. She's going in blind.
She's literally like, I'm buying this cow and I have absolutely no idea about it.
So then we get to them preparing for the meeting, and Kim mentions how she can only be herself. Kim can only be Kim, and she hopes that with the purchase of the cow that Usman's family goes, oh my god, she bought us a cow. I just thought that was so funny and so random of all the like, oh yeah, they're going to be so happy. They're going to love me because I bought them a cow.
And Kimberly says this wild quote, which I will read. She goes, aside from fighting in Operation Desert Storm, so literally the Gulf War, this is probably going to be the most nerve-wracking experience of my life.
That's wild. That's a wild claim.
Like, not like, oh, I'm nervous to have a baby, or yeah, I'm nervous of my ex-husband, or her mom was really sick. You know, unfortunately, she did end up passing away, but, like, this is the most nerve-wracking.
Of all of those
besides
things.
Literal war.
That's wild.
So they go in. Kimberly's wearing her headscarf and everything, all prepared, and it's Usman's brother, eldest brother, like, he's kind of like a father figure, I would say.
Yeah.
His elder brother, like,
right above him,
his eldest sister, his mom, and then this random guy sitting next to them in fucking sunglasses that we never get an introduction to.
That was so random. He must have been, I don't know, like minister of the family or something.
I was thinking he was like their driver guy that they met right when they got off the airport. But it wasn't him. It wasn't him. I have no idea who this man is.
Family, some kind of family friend.
We never get an introduction.
Very random.
So they walk in.
And those are all the decision makers for the family. All the decision makers are there in that house under that roof.
So have we determined if Usman is the youngest.
I think he's the second youngest, right?
I don't know. I couldn't remember.
Thought he was the second youngest of 12 or something.
Yeah, I really couldn't remember. So they walk in and everyone's face just says it all.
Yeah, his mom looks really angry, mad, upset, just kind of that sour look on somebody's face.
Like you
when they know it's coming and they already know they're gonna say no.
Yeah, like the look she gave was like a look that I give when someone like really pisses me off, but right. I don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
And his brothers just start going ham.
Yeah, his brother goes, I don't understand why he likes this type of woman. I just thought that was so funny.
I mean, it's true. It is very true. And we'll get to the next time on, yeah. Like I keep saying. And they, you know, brought up like he was married to a white woman from America before. She couldn't have children. They argued all the time. You know, there were issues and they separated. Why does he like people like this? No one is on board with this union at all.
And this is when his mom says, I cannot support a decision this time around.
And then all of a sudden.
Perfect timing.
There's a knock at the door. It's like fucking 90 days. This cow is waiting outside.
Absolutely perfect timing.
So the best part is his brother that's like right above him, like older than him. He answers the door and he's like, it's a cow. It's a bull. And he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. Usman goes, I forgot to tell you, like, she bought you guys a bull.
And they instantly take this as Kim is trying to bribe them.
Yeah.
To get them to like her.
Because they knew that the answer was going to be no.
Correct. And Kim the whole time, which I'll give her a lot of credit on this, because sometimes she can be very quick.
Yes.
And very, like, short-tempered. She kept her cool. And can I say something? Can I say something? Let me talk. Let me talk. It wasn't a bribe at all from her. I think Kim has a really genuine, good heart.
Yes.
She's a good-hearted person. Yeah. And for her, buying gifts, that's her way of showing affection. Some people is, you know, just saying nice things. For Kim, it's buying gifts. She buys gifts for Usman all the time. She, you know, buys things for her son, for her mom, whatever it may be. And she's even mentioned this in previous episodes. Anytime she goes to a party, she brings something. That's just, you know, the kind of person that she is. This is a huge event, really, for her and for Usman and for the family. So she just felt like it came with a large gift, which happened to be a cow.
And she's being told by Usman, like, hey, you should or you better gift them an animal.
So she thinks this is the proper thing to do.
And it needs to be reiterated that Usman has not disclosed to her the conversation he had before with his mom.
Right, right.
So she's going in there with like a glimmer of hope. Whereas Usman knew what the answer was going to be and still had her buy mom a cow.
Yeah, to hopefully override it. It seems as though Usman was trying to bribe the family and Kim was trying to be nice to the family.
Exactly. Communication.
And it really backfired on her, but I hope that they allow her to talk.
Yeah.
And Usman translates it properly, or his brother translates it properly.
Or the random guy with sunglasses on.
Yeah. Because
maybe he's a translator for her.
That's possible, yeah. Cause from my standpoint, Kim was just trying to do a nice thing and it didn't work out.
So. I agree. I feel bad for her. She knows they're all like yelling and displeased and stuff, and I think her hope is kind of diminishing before our eyes.
Definitely.
It's hard for me because, like, I know she really loves him, but, like, girl, come on now.
Yeah. No, I agree. Anything else from them, from this episode.
I think we can move on to the final.
I just feel bad for Kim.
Me too. I really want the best for her. I'll never watch it, but like I would watch Pillow Talk, like her and Jamal are on it together. Like that, they're probably like super nice on there.
Yeah.
But I don't really watch Pillow Talk. I mean, now Patrick and John are on it, so like maybe I'll glimpse here and there. But
all right, so the best part of every episode is Andre.
Beep, 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 beep. That's all I fucking heard during
their entire...
It's like
an old school MTV show. So Andre and Libby. So today is the day of the interview. And Andre is very nervous for this interview. He's super stressed out. And they get in the car and start heading towards the interview. And in the car, they start talking about potential questions that would be asked in the interview.
Before that, they're at the house and Libby and Ellie, their daughter, are making waffles. And it was really, that was like a really sweet moment. You see a glimpse into how like the kind of parents that they are.
Yeah.
And like Andre, you can tell he's like a really great dad, probably spends a ton of time with her. I do think that Ellie's like one of her, she talks now. She said two on the TV, but like, she's going to be cursing up a storm by the time she turns five. Cause all that man does is curse.
Yeah. She's going to be that kid in preschool or kindergarten saying what the fuck. And there's always one asshole, everything else.
So they're in the car and they're, so Jonathan said they were talking about potential questions and Libby goes, what if they ask us how many times we have sex? Which like they would never ask that type of question.
Yeah.
And
sometimes it's zero. Sometimes it's five. Let's just say two.
They fuck all the time. Like you already know. So yeah, let's just say two. Let's lie. She says this on national TV. Let's lie and say it's two.
Then she asks about like sleeping arrangements and what side of the bed do you sleep on? And Andre's like, you sleep all over the bed and I want to kick you out.
I want to fucking kick you out.
And then Libby mentions how Andre has a nice ass and it looks like he's trying to hold in a fart.
And they're cracking up. And it's like you're supposed to be like going to this interview. And Andre even
says
that.
It's a very serious thing.
Andre even says that. He's like, you can tell I'm nervous because we're laughing about this like stupid shit. And I was like, yeah, pretty much. But he is tense. Yeah. They pull into the parking lot and he's trying to do a tie and Libby's trying to help him and he's like, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah, he is having
this bullshit.
He's freaking out about the tie and I gotta tell you, ties suck. Don't wear it.
I don't think he should have worn it.
You can wear a suit without a tie. It looks good.
It didn't even look like he was wearing a suit jacket. He was just wearing the shirt with the tie.
Yeah.
I would have rocked the jacket, no tie.
Yeah.
Personally.
And then when you sit down, you take the jacket off, put it on the chair, so it looks nice.
No. Anyway.
Yes.
So, obviously, cameras aren't allowed in the interview. And they come out, and things are tense. Even more tense than when they went in.
Oh, yeah. They get back in the car, and Andre is saying, don't talk like someone is dead, and we got grilled in there. And the permanent green card wasn't officially approved.
And essentially what happened is they interviewed them separately, it sounded like. And they asked Libby, when did you guys meet? And she told them the wrong fucking year.
Yeah, she said her story didn't match up to Andre's story.
Which it's like, instead of talking about how many times you guys fucked during the week.
Those are the things they're going to ask.
Yeah.
So you probably should have had that. And
supposedly she answered like laughing or like.
Yeah.
And she said she was trying to break the mood. But I understand like if you're talking to someone and then you meet them like later on in life, like you're gonna say, oh, well, I met them in real life this time, but I met them online at this time.
Right. Like, especially for them, it's a different scenario. Like, wasn't she on vacation or something when they met?
Yeah, so he...
And he was bouncing in Ireland?
He was a bouncer at a bar in Ireland.
Right, okay.
And she... I think she was on vacation, or she might have been studying abroad or something, and they met.
Yeah.
And,
some
but
kind of,
I
like,
think
missions
she,
trip, I think.
But I think she came back to the States.
Yeah, and then they started
continuing
talking.
To talk. Yeah, so it was like they met...
Yeah.
This year, but we're talking this year. It's all technicality. But right. Andre is heated.
They're like, apparently they need more proof.
I'm like, proof? They have a fucking kid.
And he was getting so upset.
Ah, fuck.
Why are you stumbling on the questions and giggling and...
Shit. This bullshit.
It was too much pressure for Libby. That's what it was. And... Then this is when they kind of get into the whole thing about the potential that they might not be able to stay here and they might have to go. And Andrea is so quick. Great. Your family's not there. Like if they had to go back to Moldova and
fuck your family,
fuck your fucking family. And he thinks somebody from Libby's family reported him to USCIS, which obviously, it's Charlie. Who the hell else would it be?
Fuck your family.
Libby doesn't know who would sabotage them, and Andre is telling Libby, come on, you know they've had it out for us. You know, all these things. They probably put it into Google, 1-800-IMMIGRATION or whatever. It's just so... He gets so upset and so mad. It's so... funny. I just love his mannerisms too. His hands are going everywhere. They're running through his hair. He's sweating.
And every other word is a curse word.
It's fuck, asshole, shit, everything.
Every word.
I love it. It's great. It's hysterical.
But Libby's upset because, you know, if they need to leave this country, Ellie's not going to know any of her family in the States, and she's upset about this, and, you know, she's not going to have the same opportunities if they lived in Moldova. And it's like, but you don't need to move back to Moldova. Like, you can move to anywhere in Europe or Asia or Africa or anywhere you want to fucking go.
Yeah, wherever your heart pleases.
Yeah. Fuck your family. It's just the greatest quote
ever.
Fuck
your fucking family.
Fuck your fucking family.
Love it. Big fan.
So we'll see what happens. But that was... What are you going to rate the... Do you have anything else about Libby and Andre?
No.
Chalk. Oh, that was another thing. He said that Libby's family wants him deported because he's close with Chalk. And
yeah.
That if he was out of the picture, they would have better opportunities. Which it's true. It's very true.
Yeah.
And
I don't
mean,
disagree.
After Becky like made the joke about Andre getting deported.
Right.
Like, fuck them, man.
Y'all definitely did something.
Fuck them.
I hope they're allowed to stay. We kind of know that they are, but I like...
I mean, she just had a kid.
I'm interested to see how the storyline plays out. And if it comes out, if they're able to identify who the culprit was, because that would be fun.
I really want to go back to the singing storyline. I thought that
now
was...
Now we're done.
I know, but it was so entertaining for those two episodes. So I think we got to go back to it. And then obviously, like, we see a glimpse. It's very, very zoomed up on Libby's face, but she's kind of swollen and stuff. We're obviously going to get her... also being pregnant
at some point.
So she literally just popped the kid out. So Winston.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much it for them. Anything else on this? I'd rate it probably a 6.
I was going to say like a 4.
It was better than last week.
It was better than last week. I'm just sick of these storylines.
Yeah, whoa. I can understand that.
I just give me something new.
Yeah.
Like
keep it fresh.
the Kama Sutra yoga is so fucking funny to me. Like, can we continue with that instead of his family?
Yeah.
And then, like, Bilal and Shida. Let's get back to the pranks. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Hashtag why not?
Prank, I'm pregnant. Pop those holes in your condoms.
What I hope that Kimberly finds better.
Yeah.
Jovine Yar. Oh, you want to go with the next time on? Because you took notes this week.
Yeah, so the next time on, Yara and Jovi, along with Myla, go to Prague, Czech Republic.
Yes.
To visit Yara's mom.
And Yara's mom, like, shows up at the airport. She has flowers. And then they start talking about, Jovi makes a joke that they should bring Yara's mom over to the States to be Myla's babysitter.
Full-time grandma.
Full-time grandma. And Yara's mom goes, do you want to live in the States or do you want to live in Prague?
Seems like Yara wants to live in both.
Yes. And then it's funny because they're speaking Ukrainian, I guess?
Yeah, Ukrainian or Russian.
Russian. I guess it's, I would believe it's Ukrainian though. And they keep saying Jovi and he has no idea what they're saying.
What so are y'all talking about?
It's pretty funny.
Feel bad for him in that scenario.
Whatever.
Bilal and Shida have dinner with his family and the baby conversation continues. Fun.
His sister asks what's on the horizon and Shida goes a family and Bilal goes, I already have a family. So we obviously know what's happening.
Sumit goes to visit his family.
But we didn't get a camera shot of the family. So I'm curious on who is there.
True.
It Hopefully. Might just be like the dad and the brother.
Yeah, and the sister-in-law.
Yeah, but no mom.
Maybe. We'll see. And then lastly, Kim refuses to be the second wife. And Usman responds with, my DM is full of rich, beautiful young ladies.
Which literally, if I, and I hope this comes up in the tell-all at Sean Robinson. If I saw that, I'd be like, then go with them. Like, yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah, I agree.
But it sounds like his family is going to be like, oh, Kim can be the second wife, but your first wife needs to like bear your children and stuff. So should be interesting. No Libby and Andre for the next time on.
Yeah, I'm a little upset by that because I look forward to seeing Andre every week.
Yeah.
It's all good, though. Outside of that, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think anything else. I really can't wait for the season to end. And unfortunately, it won't for at least another, like, 4 to 6 weeks, I would say.
Yeah. Right. There's definitely probably 7 more episodes.
Yeah.
6 or 7.
Plus the tell-all.
Plus the 2-parter.
I know. It's goddamn 2-parters.
That'll be 16 episodes. 7 and 7 is 14 plus the 2 is 16. Yeah. So that would be my guess. That'll bring us to right around the end of the year.
Yeah. And that's how it usually is too. So. Can't wait for it to be over, TBH.
Anything else?
I don't think so. No. I heard Single Life's doing really well, so if you guys are watching that, let us know.
Yeah. Might tune in every once in
a
while.
I mean, it seems funny, at least.
True.
Shout out to everyone on Reddit, by the way. There's been some funny ass memes on there lately. I saw one the other day that it was like Sinjin on a Slim Jim gym, and I cracked up. It was the funniest thing possible. So shout out to you guys if you're on there, because I'm lurking all the time. But I think that's really it from us this week. Really appreciate you guys tuning in. Again, sorry for my vocal fry. I know some people like really get really turned off by it. So you guys are getting like really solid the past 3 weeks with like my nasally stuff, my coughing and everything, and then vocal fry this week. So you're totally welcome. Besides that, follow us on Instagram, 90day_ourway. Follow or email us if you guys want us to feature anything or talk about a specific thing. Like I said, if you want us to tune into Single Life, we could definitely start doing that as well. Really just trying to get that content out there because the season is just so mediocre right now. You have anything else, babe?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. Looking forward to a couple more episodes of the season.
Yeah, and I think this is our longest episode for the season, so solid nice. Job. Well, it's because we got 5 couples.
Yeah, good work by you.
Good work by you. Also, talking has kept me awake this entire time, so solid.
Beautiful.
All right, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Thank y'all.
Bye.